Well, folks, I encourage you to take a look inside your grace notes today where you can follow along. And today we're talking about finding good soil in our sermon series, We Are Family. And hopefully you can open your hearts and minds to God's teaching today and realize that we all need a place where we can belong, be loved, and be ourselves, right? We do. We can. We need to be. We need to be in a place where we can belong, be loved, and be ourselves. We all crave that. We all need that. And the church is supposed to be that. You know, if you think about it, when you look at your life, where do you spend most of your time? Where do you spend most of your time on a daily or weekly basis? I think for some of us, we spend a lot of our time at home. Yes, amen? Yes, we do. Some of us spend a lot of our time at school for the students. Yes, you spend a lot of time at school. And parents, folks, we sometimes spend a little bit of time at work, don't we? Yes, we do, just a little bit, right? Just a little bit, or a little bit too much, yes, yeah, amen, we do. And there's a kind of a thought out there that there's a third place that we spend a lot of time. And marketing experts and businesses, they all chase after you being in the third place. And for some of you, the third place is Starbucks, right? Yeah? I think some of those folks, yeah, might be sitting around over here somewhere. Yeah, others of us, you know, it might be Chick-fil-A, you know, I don't know, maybe. Think about it. Where do you spend a lot of your time? Where do you spend a lot of your time? Is it at home or school or work? And then where's the next one? Kauffman Stadium, maybe? That'd be nice, yeah. Arrowhead, maybe. That'd be awesome. But think about it. Where do we spend the rest of that time? Because I'm going to say some of us spend a lot of time at our kids' sporting events, yes? Do I hear a grumble? Yes? Yeah? That's okay. That's okay. It used to be that a lot of folks viewed the church that way, that that was the third place, that people would spend their rest of their time kind of out in the world, but that third place that people would gather, they would go to, would be the church. It's not a terrible thing. It's not a bad thing. It's just some things have shifted a little bit in our lives. And I think, to some extent, the church being a third place is a good thing, but it also can be a bad thing. Depending on your purpose here on earth, whoever you are, wherever you're going in this world, whatever gifts God has given you, I can tell you what you care about by looking at your calendar. I can tell you what you truly, passionately love and care about by just looking about where you spend your time. And if you look back at your own life, you realize what you're pouring a lot of your energy and your resources and your time into, you need to realize what you really care about. That's tough, it is. It's tough for some of us to have that mirror held up to us and realize what really matters. There's a prophet in the Old Testament, one of my favorites, a guy named Jeremiah, who was called by God to go speak to people about God's word. And at the time, things were pretty critical. There were some tough things going on. And so God had some very specific words for him, and I want you to hear these. Jeremiah 1, 9 through 10. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. God gave Jeremiah a specific purpose, to speak his word to the nations, to anybody and everybody who was willing to listen. And he did. He spoke these words loudly. And you can see that four of those six commands from God were basically negative, destruction, tear things down, because there was a lot of things that had been built up among the kingdom of God, among the people of God, that was not healthy and that was not good. And so Jeremiah is told, you get out there and you uproot, you tear down, you destroy, and you overthrow. But he was also told to build and to plant, to help people build up in the faith, to be planted and rooted in the faith. Now for us who call ourselves Christians, followers of Jesus Christ, sadly some of us have actually focused on the first part of this, uprooting, tearing down, destroying, and overthrowing, but I don't think that's really our calling. Once we figure out our purpose in this world, once we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, our third place is out there inviting people to follow Jesus. Not uprooting, tearing down, destroying, and overthrowing people's lives, but actually helping people build and plant into a faith community, growing up in the church. Too many churches, too many Christians, too many faithful followers of Jesus get this wrong by thinking that by guilt, shame, or tearing people down, ripping them up, tearing them down so you can build them back up. It doesn't work. They think that works, and that's how we create Christians. It's not. It's by pointing people to Jesus Christ. It's by showing people the way, the truth, and life, showing who we are called to be. And so I begin by saying this. We all need a place to belong. Every human being craves to belong somewhere. And in John 15, it says, if you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world. I have chosen you out of the world. So who do you belong to? Who do you belong to today? Your family, your friends, the world, or do you belong to Jesus? Because if you choose to belong to Jesus, you're on a different path from the rest of the world. And it's up to each and every one of us to truly decide that and think, okay, who am I going to be in Christ? Who am I in Christ? Am I a casual worshiper that attends every now and then? Am I somebody who truly believes in Jesus with my heart, soul, strength, and mind and put my whole body and life into it? Or am I just kind of like, you know, I'll be that casual worshiper. I'll show up every now and then. I feel like I'm a good person. Or do you actually care enough about other people to say, I'm all in. I want to be a faithful follower. You know, it's up to you. You know, we don't try and push people, make you feel bad about things. No, we just try and point you in the right direction. That, I think, truly is the goal of the church. That's why we say around here, we are a light in the darkness. We point people in the right direction. And it's up for people to choose to do that or not. And I think using coercive tactics and being mean and rude, that doesn't work. You know, when you think about it, though, as you look at your own life, you look at the time you spend places, there are some of us who probably have picked a third place that isn't a good place. A place where we have guilt and shame. There's some things we've done in this world that are not good, holy, and just. We can change. We all can change. But I want you to hear this. A rabbi, a guy named Jonathan Sacks, actually wrote a book about morality and faith and community, and he talked about how faithful followers of God can slip away. And I think this applies to us. It says, when people begin to lose their religious convictions, often the first thing they stop doing is observing religious rituals. In other words, they stop, for us, translate, stop attending worship. They stop being part of the community. The next thing to go after that, friends, is morality. Because once we lose that sense of community, of going in the right direction together, and we back off and we kind of fall away, instead of choosing the way of Jesus, we choose the way of the world. We choose the easy way. And we begin to say, well, wait a minute. I don't need to really follow all those things that Jesus said because I can figure this out. I'm a good person. So when we do that, we're not planted in good soil. We're not planted in the soil of the body of Christ, of the church. We're planting ourselves out there in the world. A place of unhealthiness and misery and sadness. Let me read to you from Romans 12, 4 through 8. This tells us who we need to be. It says, for just as each one of us has one body and many members, and these members do not have all the same function, so in Christ, though many form one body, each member belongs to all of each other. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each one of us. If your gift is prophesying, then you should prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, you should serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's encouraging, give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it is leading, do it diligently. And if it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. We are called to use the gifts that God has given us, to plant ourselves somewhere, to make a difference in this world for Jesus Christ. Not a difference for us or our future or our family. I mean, Jesus Christ should be first. And that's a tough thing to hear, isn't it? I want to put my family first, right? I want to put my family first. I do. I want to put their safety first. But for some of us, that's where it stops, right? We don't realize that Jesus Christ has to be a priority in our lives. Is Jesus Christ a priority in your life? Have you firmly planted yourself among the body of Christ? Or again, are you just in and out? Are you a fair-weather fan of Jesus? You know, another thing we need to learn, we all need a place to be loved. So not only do we need a place to belong and be a part of something bigger than ourselves, we need a place to be loved. Everyone needs to be loved. Everyone wants love. Everyone wants to feel as if they are cared for by somebody. Now think about this. When you're sick, you don't feel well, what do you crave? What do you desire? And I know some of you will tell me, I want people to leave me alone when I don't feel good, right? Any bears out there just angry, frustrated when you're sick and people just like leave you alone? Yes, amen. Yes, there's several of you. I know a few of you. We just don't want to be bothered. But others of us, and depending on the level of your sickness, you need to be cared for. You need to be cared for. You need someone to be there to help you through your tough time. Just like that, I believe sin is a spiritual sickness. People who have sin in their life need to be cared for, not judged. Think about that. How many churches are out there judging people because of their sin? They've made a mistake. Many of them feel so guilty about it, they won't even walk in the doors of the church. It's a spiritual sickness. So what is the church's response? Guilt, shame, and judgment, or love, caring, and a place where they can belong? You know, everyone wants to be loved. They want to be cared for. What do you think Jesus said about this? Did he say, no, kick the sinners out, get rid of them? No, listen to this. Mark 12. Love the Lord your God with your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandment than these. Jesus teaches us we are to love God and love our neighbor. Not just love God like a lot of Christians sadly do. Oh, I love God, I praise the Lord, but I'm not going to help my neighbor. My neighbors make me mad. They frustrate me. They cause me problems. My coworkers, my classmates, all those folks, they give me grief. Too much grief that I want to help them. Those people you're frustrated at, those people that have caused you problems in your life, guess what? They need love. They need love. They need to know the love of Jesus Christ. And it's up to you to show it to them. It's not up to me or other folks. If they're in your life, you have to show it to them. Because you might be the only Christian they encounter. And you might say, oh, come on. We live in the United States. You know, isn't most of our country Christian? And like 93% of the people in this country, don't they believe in God? Yes, they do. But less than half of them actually show up to church. Their concept of who God is probably from what they learned in Sunday school in second grade. And we teach a lot of great things in Sunday school in second grade. In fact, I think some of us ought to go back to some remedial Sunday school classes sometimes with the way we treat others. But honestly, folks, we need to be a part of a community that is truly every week, every day, shining the light of Christ out there in the world, because when you're not, you slip away. Your faith slips away. Your practices slip away. And so when you encounter people who are a little edgy, give you a little grief, cause a little problem, you back off. And you choose to act like the world would act. Well, I don't want to associate with those folks. I don't want to be bothered by them. We choose passages of Scripture that justify that behavior to say, I shouldn't be unequally yoked with non-Christians. I don't want to be around that. But that's not who Jesus was. That's not what he told us to do. In fact, in John 13, he actually goes even further. He says, hey, a new command I give you. This is further on in his ministry. He said, love God, love your neighbor. Now he says, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. Now listen to this. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. That is the way people know that we're followers of Jesus, because of who and how we love. Without judgment, without guilt, without shame, we love one another. We love those who are far from Christ. We love those who are struggling and hurting, and we help them in the midst of their needs. How about you? Have you found a place where you're going to be planted firmly, a place to belong? Have you found a place where you can be loved? Because this is a place where you can find love. This is a place where you can feel the love of Jesus Christ every week. We are sharing that as much as we can with the whole world. A church like Grace is not perfect. We make a lot of mistakes, but we're trying. We're trying to do everything we can, whether it be in Lee Summit or at Eldorado Springs campus, to make a huge difference for Jesus Christ, to shine that light of Christ everywhere we go. We've got a live stream worship service that's out there in the world that's touching the world. And it's up to each and every one of us to give this a try. It can't just be the church staff or what you perceive to be church leaders. It's got to be all of us. All of us in together, because we are family, friends. We are family. Now, what I know about families is sometimes we don't all get along, right? So I've been really good around here, and I'm going to be really good around here for as long as I serve here, to not bring up politics up here, okay? Because I know a lot of us go to family gatherings, and what happens? We talk about politics. Not at my Thanksgiving dinner, no way. I want turkey, mashed potato, gravy, rolls, stuff. I want all that and no political talk. No, thank you. We can talk about sports all we want. Amen to that, right? I might have Cardinals fans in my family. Oh, well. Sorry. Better luck next year. I tell you, though, folks, we need to realize that sometimes families don't get along. Sometimes they don't get along, right? That's okay. It's the same way in the church. But we don't leave angry, mad, and frustrated. Now, I don't know about you, but some of my family gatherings, that's happened. That's okay. But you always come back because we belong to each other. And here in the church, we belong to Christ. We belong to the body of Christ. Last thing I'm going to talk about is this. We all need a place to be ourselves. Oh, this is a good one, right? We all need a place to be ourselves. A lot of churches want to make you change and not be who God created you to be. They'll judge you. They'll say all these crazy things they'll pull up out of the Bible. No, we want you to be the best you that you can be. The best you that you can be. God created you to be amazing, to have an amazing life, to be magnificently blessed. I need you to be who God created you to be. To be that amazing, wonderful gift to this world. God has gifted you in amazing ways. Yes, there's some things, some rough edges in all of us. We need to change a little bit, and you need to do that, but that's not who you are. That's what you do. The practices of your life, the patterns of behavior, the habits you've formed that are unhealthy, that are worldly, that's what needs to change. Once you've accepted Jesus Christ in your heart, you're a new creation. Your life is forever changed, and you're going to grow in the love and hope and passion of Jesus Christ. Let me read to you from Psalm 139. It says, "You were created, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb." Now listen to this. "I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well." To follow Jesus, to truly follow Jesus, all we have to do is accept the love that he gives us, to choose to believe in him. And then we have to be willing to plant ourselves somewhere. And I tell you, Grace Church, it's some good soil to be planted in, friends. It is. It's some good soil to plant in. And a lot of folks are out there trying to find good soil to grow in, right? We are. And so for us here, we are trying to do everything we can to make sure that you can grow here, that you can learn here, that you can love here, that you can experience God's joy here in your life. We're not going to tear down, speak poorly of others, judge you. We're not going to do that. That's not who we are. What we're going to do is we're going to help people build and plant, to put roots, firm, strong roots down in the body of Christ. We're also going to help people grow and learn together. I think that's part of your Christian faith, your Christian walk, is to grow and to learn. But it's up to each and every one of us to follow that path. And finally, we got to live and be who God created us to be. We do. And we have to learn how to love each other, even though we may disagree about some things. We have to learn how to get along and love each other, because Grace is a place where you can belong, be loved, and be yourself. And I pray and I hope that you'll be the best you that you can be. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we need to be that church for you, a church that's focused on helping people find Jesus, serving, sharing, showing the love of God. Help us, each and every one of us this day, open ourselves up to belonging, to being a part of something bigger than ourselves, to being loved unconditionally by you, and a place where we can be ourselves, who God has truly created us to be. It's in Jesus Christ's holy name that we pray. Amen. Please stand and sing. I invite you to please join hands, be in fellowship and friendship together, be connected to the people of God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we leave this place today, let us go with joy and hope in our hearts, knowing there is a better world out there because of you. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Go in peace. Go with God. Go Chiefs. Go Royals.